Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Jeremy Jordan alongside Dave McCann. It is Thursday, April 3rd. We begin today's show with some sad news. Former BYU Director of Women's Athletics, legendary women's volleyball coach, and first ballot ABCA Hall of Famer Elaine Michaelis passed away yesterday morning at the age of 86. Michaelis served as head coach for four different women's programs at BYU, totaling more than 70 collective seasons with women's volleyball, basketball, field hockey, and softball. She guided the women's volleyball program for 40 seasons before retiring from coaching in May of 2002. She also served as director of women's intercollegiate athletics at BYU from 1995 to 2004, when there were separate men and women's programs, overseeing one of the most successful women's athletics programs in the country.
During her own college career at BYU, Michaelis played basketball, softball, and volleyball from 1956 to 1960. As a volleyball coach who at one time had won more games than anybody, she was inducted into the ABCA Hall of Fame in 2003 and the BYU Hall of Fame in 2008. The volleyball court in the Smithfield House was named in her honor back in 2005.
BYU Athletic Director Tom Homel had this to say about Elaine Michaelis. Elaine Michaelis was not only a pioneer in women's athletics at BYU, but a pioneer in women's athletics, period. The successes today in women's sports at BYU would not be possible without Elaine's tremendous love, commitment, and advocacy that she spent her life building and strengthening. On top of her legendary athletic accomplishments, Elaine was a beautiful person and a dear friend to many. Dave, what does Elaine Michaelis' legacy mean to BYU athletics?
Well, when it comes to women's sports here, she is the legacy. She is the pioneer that went forward and cut down the trees and created the trail for everybody to follow. And today's success, which is program-wide, is a result of her her willingness to fight, because it wasn't always easy to get things done. And I think a tender mercy from above is the fact that she lived long enough to see it all fulfilled. And I think that's amazing. Collectively, women's sports at BYU has never been more successful or more visible today because of all the yesterdays that she put in around this place. And so here we are. This is a celebration of life for a tremendous human being.
I'm sad today. I had a lot of interaction with Elaine covering the women's volleyball program. In fact, she was an analyst one time with me on a match, which was a real thrill for me. Pioneer is the word. The success today is tied to her building in the past, as you mentioned. She championed women's athletics when they were not popular. We live in a day where women's basketball is very popular nationally and collegiately. Women's volleyball is more popular than men's volleyball, which is awesome. She was a great athlete herself, threw a no-hitter and a one-hitter in one day for BYU, which is pretty incredible.
That's a good day.
The court, as you mentioned, is named after her, which is a sweet thing. When the ABCA said, we're going to create a Hall of Fame, the first class included Elaine Michaelis. Mm. She was in there, man. At one point, Carl McGowan was an assistant to her, by the way. That might have been the greatest coaching staff of any sport ever for BYU. Right. She was amazing. She'd come to a lot of the matches. She'd sit in the same spot. The second seat from the aisle right behind where we'd sit.
Yeah.
I would go over and visit with her. She'd hold my hand the whole time we talked. And she often said to me, you do your part and I'll do my part. And I thought, man, Elaine Michaelis is asking me to step up my game today for this broadcast. I'm not even playing, but I got to bring it.
That's right.
She really liked when BYU beat Utah. Those were notable days for her. I love that. I love saying hi to her. I'm gonna miss her there tonight at the men's volleyball match. I hope there's an empty seat with flowers there for her.
Yeah.
And her influence on this program, incredible. There was a women's volleyball match a couple years ago, Dave, where Amy Gant and I were there. Amy played for Elaine, and it was an alumni weekend, and they gave Coach Michaelis flowers and a standing O for a couple minutes, and it was a very emotional thing, because I think for them it was, this might be the last time we're here with Coach on our court, and it was really special. I love that court is named after her, and we're going to miss her, man. I'm going to miss chatting with her pregame. And now she joins the Heavenly Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And her life lives on in the life of her players. She did not marry and have children, but she has a ton of kids through her players and their kids and the lives that they lead, because she set up this women's program to be successful. I think Jennifer Rockwood and Heather Olmstead and Dilgie Taylor and all of the success that happens is because they've worked hard, but they built off what she built.
Yeah, throw Gordon Eakin in there, too.
Absolutely.
She hired Gordon Eakin.
Jeff Judkins, and now Lee Kamard, and all these sports. It's awesome to see what this has become.
I love that she was nice the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
She was nice back when she was working with my dad when he was alive years ago. And she was nice to one of the McCann boys the whole time. And that's a trait that not a lot of people have. And she was powerful, she was impactful, influential, and nice to everybody.
Elaine Michaelis. Yeah, we're going to miss her. If you haven't seen her, Deep Blue, you're about to. Highlights the incredible life she led, the influence she had on women's athletics at BYU, and how her legacy lives on.
Some people think that my claim to fame is my no-hitter and one-hitter in the same day. It was just a blessing, that's all. We just had a great team behind us, and we could hit the ball as well. Sports was in our family, much to my mother's dismay. She thought I ought to just be sewing and doing the usual lady things. I did some of those, but also I worked in my dad's feed store. Guys in the feed store every morning would check the scores, and I had my favorite, which were the Red Sox, as well as we had a good church program for softball. So I grew up doing sports.
Well, I went to BYU at about the same time that Elaine went to school. We traveled through those classes together. And of course, Lou was working at that time and teaching, so I knew her as an instructor.
They didn't really ask me to be in charge of women's athletic. I was basically asked to just keep track of what was going on.
Well, sports days for the women were just, let's get together and play another school.
Sometimes we'd go to Colorado, then you'd compete for one day, intermingle, play, and then that was your season, and then you were finished.
And that's kind of what we did. We had maybe a few days of practice. The coaches were our faculty members who used their cars to get us to where we're going. And we compete all day long and then call it a day and go home. It was a fun competition, but it wasn't elite competition. We were competing with the best we had.
They must have been incredibly patient as they tried to bring people along with the concept that women really deserve the right to participate at the highest levels.
Having to work around the men's program and their extensive opportunities, the focus was on them mostly.
Well, we, of course, were delighted to have a passage of the Title IX that would give us an opportunity to compete nationally and would also expand women's sports.
Title IX required certain requirements to be considered competition that was worthy of what a school should have. And so almost all the schools had to make some adjustments to make sure the women got the same opportunities as the men.
They asked the question, why didn't the women practice and play in the Marriott Center since it was available? And they were told that the women didn't want to, which was completely untrue. No one contacted the women. It was the male athletic director that answered the questions concerning the women.
Of course, at that time, we were not very much in compliance. It took us a while to work through it.
Her patience, her persistence was really critical in bringing BYU to where it is today.
Whether she was either the coach of it or then later on as the athletic director, she was responsible for bringing in so many more opportunities for women's sports.
She propelled women's sports forward by just being our advocate.
So if the football team was getting something, then, well, the girls should deserve to get kind of the same type of treatment. She just kind of demanded that we were treated fairly.
She was there just supporting us in everything that we did, wanting us to be successful, wanting all sports to be successful, especially for the women. And she just really did, I think, all that she could to make sure that we got the recognition that we deserved.
Someone had to do it. Elaine and I were the only ones available. And so we did what we thought we needed to do to build women's sports and to promote it.
I know that when Elaine first started, she was coaching 5 or 6 sports early on in her coaching career. But I know that later on, it eventually just focused on volleyball, and she specialized in volleyball.
Well, it just evolved. I didn't really make a choice. Its schedules became conflicted, so something had to go. Other people came in to help with the coaching and took over some of the sports.
She just went about doing what you need to do to be successful, and she would teach people. She was a teacher. She wasn't a yeller. She would help people understand the concepts and what they were trying to achieve. And she would work hard and just go about it in a loving way.
Clean the floors, you know, sweep them down, set up the nets, whatever needed to be done. She just did it because that's what needed to happen. Never drawing attention to herself, never, I think, with any agenda.
You know, she reached the pinnacle of her profession in the coaching world, and then just naturally assumed this responsibility as leading the women's programs. And back then, as now, BYU's women's programs were among the best in the country. And a lot of that can be tied back to Elaine's time, you know, as a coach and as an advocate for women's sports, and then eventually as the director of women's athletics.
The women on our team have the honor and privilege to play on Elaine Michaelis' court. And although they didn't get to play for her, we always try to bring out the stories and the history and the tradition that Coach Michaelis laid before our teams.
When Elaine retired, there were only 4 programs that had been to more NCAA tournaments than BYU. Coach of the Year some dozen times. Her overall career, she won almost 80%, 79 point something percent of her overall matches. But I think her relationships that she built was as strong as her schematics and her X and O's of her coaching, is that she knew how to bring people together and help them achieve goals and teach them how to be successful.
At the recent alumni luncheon that we had, I was able to meet a woman who played in the very first year that Elaine played. And I was privileged to be one of those who played in the last year that she played. And just to see a 40-year legacy and 40-year span of what she's been able to do was really special. And I'm just really happy that they put her name on that court to recognize that.
President Hinckley used to say that people needed to be well-bred and well-dead before they had a name on a building or something at BYU. And so that shows how much esteem people have for Elaine Michaelis. In order to get your name on a facility here, you have to be someone of the highest esteem. And Elaine certainly fits that in every way.
We want our recruits and our players to understand just how powerful and impactful their opportunity to put on a BYU jersey and play on Elaine Michaelis' court is for them and what that represents to the world.
I don't think BYU would be what it was without her hard work and dedication and just her love for what she was doing. I think every one of us are grateful and would just say thank you.
Everything you've done for BYU and the BYU women's volleyball team will never be forgotten. Everything we have, we owe to you. And we hope that we can just be a small part of continuing on your legacy and continue to make you proud by what we're doing on and off the court.
I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being the one to give me an opportunity to come here. Coming here really shaped who I am as a person, and I feel like guided me for everything else that I've done in the rest of my life, being a mother, being a coach, great mentor for me, and just the way that my life has gone. So I thank you for that.
You know, I don't know. It just evolved. I was blessed with some talents and opportunities and enjoyed them. And I think when you're having fun and you're enjoying what you're doing, it just perpetuates itself.
Elaine Michaelis. We should mention Lou Wallace. They've been roommates forever, yeah. And the influence that Lou had as well. And they showed some images from the game that I mentioned in a couple years ago, where all those alumni had a chance to, I don't know if they were saying goodbye, but it certainly was probably the last opportunity to be in person with Coach. But you see the influence she had, not only on this program and women's sports, but the lives of the people. I've been able to meet a lot of the alumni from BYU Women's Volleyball over the years. These are great people who now have, Nina Puikkanen was in that, Mortensen was in that piece. Her daughter Ellie's on the team now. So we're talking about, you know, a couple generations of influence of Elaine Michaelis. And every time I walk in the Smith Fieldhouse, you see it right there, Elaine Michaelis Court, which is a great ode to a great person.
Watching that made me think of game changers who never have it easy because they're changing a game that's already existed. And so it's a tough road. And as we saw there, it was a men's game for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And somebody had to have the tenacity to change that. And a lot of people didn't like it, right? Because we love change, right? We're really, hey, what can we change today? We like things the same. Yeah. So it takes a game changer to change the game. And she was that. And I thought back to our interview yesterday with Delaney Gibb and Mariah Hudgens here. Delaney, the one of the best players from Canada, Big 12 Rookie of the Year, living in this moment because of this young lady here, Elaine Michaelis.
We're going to miss her. And tonight there's going to be an empty seat where Elaine is not. It'll be tough. Yeah. After the break, we continue remembering life and legacy of Elaine Michaelis with Jen Rockwood and Heather Olmstead. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation as we continue to celebrate the life and legacy of Elaine Michaelis on this day where we remember her and the influence she had on this program, on the people here, and we talk about the whole women's department. She's known as a volleyball coach to many and in the ABCA Hall of Fame, but we talk about the influence across the whole board. I didn't even know BYU had a field hockey team, you know, until it was discussed in
Especially
Deep Blue.
Especially a good
one. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure it was a good one if she was involved in that thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think it's fitting there's a volleyball game tonight.
I think it is fitting.
Packed field house, and it doesn't matter, it's the men's team. There's still an Olmstead involved tonight.
And it's on her court.
And it's on her court, so that'll be fun. You'll be on the call. That'll be a big night.
Yeah, we'll certainly discuss her life and legacy tonight during the broadcast as well on the BYU TV app, BYU and Stanford, coming up at 9 Eastern. But here to discuss the life and legacy are two of the more tenured and known head coaches here at BYU with the women's programs, women's soccer head coach Jen Rockwood and Heather Olmstead from women's volleyball. Guys, thanks for being here. I wish we didn't have to be here, I suppose, talking about it. But yet I do want to talk about the life and legacy of Elaine. So let's start with you, Jen. You're the only coach BYU's known with women's soccer.
Mm-hmm.
And Elaine paved this path of let's have all these sports. What was the relationship like in the early 90s when you guys said, hey, let's create an NCAA women's soccer program here?
Yeah, I obviously owe my career and my opportunity here at BYU so many years ago that started to Elaine as a, you know, someone who believed in a really young, inexperienced coach. And her and Lou Wallace was the current athletic director, and Elaine, I know, was involved a lot in adding women's soccer with the Title IX. And I worked with them as recruiting prior to, and, you know, Elaine had been such a successful coach. She was a good mentor and a role model, and went to her for lots of questions. And then, of course, she was my AD for, you know, the rest of her career here at BYU as the main boss in a unique position of only one of few, very, very few women athletic directors. And I think paved the way for all of us in women's sports to kind of really be where we are, a national presence as she was all those years ago in volleyball.
Heather?
Yeah, I just want to offer my condolences to Elaine's family and all the athletes that played for her and the coaches that coached with her. She was an incredible lady. And being able to see her from afar as a player and play against her, and then being able to be mentored by her, it was a very special past 10, 14 years for me to be able to have Elaine as a mentor and have her as a coach in our corner for the volleyball team.
With so many memories, what do you remember with your first interaction and your last?
you know, I'm a little old to remember some first interactions. I don't know. I was just kind of in awe, I think, of her and what she had done with the women's volleyball program. Yeah. And so I do remember some of the last interactions I had is seeing her on South Field just this past year. She always came to one of our soccer games, and it was always great to see her on the sideline. I think she actually came to two games this year. Just such great memories. She's done so much for me and so much for all of the sports and obviously the women's volleyball players, but she had a big part of the success of my career and our women's soccer program.
Your first and last.
Yeah, so my first memories was I was a player and I got to play against her as a coach. I played at Utah State and got to play her. And I used to think her teams were so nice and so polite. And when I was younger, I misinterpreted that for how competitive they actually were and that they were women of high character and integrity. And you got to know that as you played against her and then coached against her longer and longer. Her teams were incredible and they were always competitive. And she did an incredible job getting her teams ready every single year. And we had the privilege of having her come sit in the front row at all our matches. And she would be at every game, every single game. So she came to every game last year. And most recently, I was able to be with her and sit with her. And she was watching, just a couple days ago, she was watching the 1987 BYU versus Stanford match in the Marriott Center, which I didn't even know they played in the Marriott Center in 1987. And we sat and we watched that together on loop a couple times. And it was incredible just to see her team way back then, and she loved watching and talking about her teams and, yeah, and all the women that she coached and the coaches that she coached with.
I'm going to miss seeing her in that seat tonight. It's not going to be easy. And we showed some footage in the Deep Blue of, was it 2 or 3 years ago, kind of an alumni weekend, yep, where she was on it. That was a really special moment.
2022, we got the alumni together, and she was a highlight of that for a lot of women that came back into town and coaches to just honor her and be with her. That was a very special weekend. She came to the game. She came to everything she could, and she always wanted to be there for her former players and the current players. We talked a lot about Elaine. We had her talk to our team, and she was always very deliberate when she talked to our team and would tell us how much focus it took to be a volleyball player and how you had to focus on the ball and focus on what you were doing. And she was invested in developing them as people on and off the court.
Still coaching.
Always.
Even now.
And coaching me. And I remember she was one of the first phone calls I made when I became head coach here. And I'll never forget, she picked up, and then she kept picking up, and she kept picking up. Every time I called her, she never missed my call. She'd pick up, and her biggest piece of advice to me, Elaine, how did you do it? Coach, how did you do it for so long? And she would say, don't sweat the small stuff, Heather. Mm. And that was over and over again. And then she would tell me about how wonderful her players were and her coaches, and she would go on and on about how people and the administration afforded her to be coaching for so long.
She had this vision of where women's sports could go at BYU. And we mentioned earlier, she had the toughness to fight for it. Mm-hmm. Now we're in this golden era of women's sports on campus, and the two of you are so impactful in that. What does that mean to you to be a part of her success story, Jen?
You know, it means a lot. Like I said, I wouldn't have the opportunity. Who knows where our sport would be, as well as all the other sports, without her investment. You know, Elaine dedicated her whole life to the school and the women's athletic programs, and certainly volleyball, but she was involved in all the sports, especially to her time during her administration era, and making sure that everybody was taken care of and fighting for us and moving us forward. And it's amazing to look and see where we are now. You know, I'm in my fourth conference since I've been here at BYU, and you know, Elaine laid the groundwork for all of us coaches and athletes to be where we are and have all the stuff that we have. We just all owe her a lot.
Yeah, she paved the way. We talk about it all the time. We have what we have because of her. She paved the way for our current student athletes and coaches to have what we have. And we owe so much to her. We owe the tradition. She won a lot of matches. And I like to remind people of that because we are standing on her shoulders. She laid an incredible foundation and taught us how to play the right way with integrity. And she said in her speech in 2012 when she got inducted into the West Coast Conference her whole life she was led by inspiration and guidance through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's who she was.
And she coached that way. Her players played that way. And that was so important to her. And she just embodied everything about BYU. And she is a legend. And we're so grateful.
And now you're doing it, which I think is super cool.
And that's one thing I would talk to her about. I've told people publicly, like, everything I do is to make Coach proud. It was this feeling of wanting to carry on and wanting to make her proud. Obviously, it's a little bit in jest, but she's incredible what she did. I just want to make sure that we leave this place better than we found it because of what she did, and our players know that. And so it's an honor to play on her court.
She would say to me, "Hey, I'm going to do my part tonight. You do yours." And I thought, I don't have any influence over winning, but Coach, I'll get in there. I was influenced by that. So here we try to carry this legacy on, Jen, of Elaine Michaelis and obviously Lou Wallace, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. which needs to be mentioned. They're hand in hand, longtime roommates mm-hmm. and best friends. And here we go. It's the next era. Yet we're in this situation where women's athletics at BYU have never been better.
Absolutely. And I think it's just as always humbling to go back and always remember in anything, but especially here in our roles and as athletes and people that work in athletics to remember what was the road that was paved prior to us being here and the opportunities that we now have because of really strong women like Elaine, like Lou and Ann Valentine. Those were the three amazing women that helped me and helped all of the coaches during their time to lead us to kind of where we are now. And we have to make sure we remember her legacy and share it with all of our players, no matter their volleyball, soccer, track and field. We need to remember, how we got here.
When we think of old school, it's nice and slow. But we are in the fast lane. This is life in the fast lane mm-hmm. in college sports. So how can you do it? How can you make sure under your watch that Elaine is not forgotten with kids who have never heard of her until they show up in your office?
Yeah, I think that's a great question and something that we're gonna ponder and make sure that we incorporate in our the foundation of our program, because we were able to have her be present with us and talk to our team, and we had her here. And now that we're moving into a different time where I think this next week or until her we get to honor her and our team gets to be a part of that, whatever that looks like in the next coming weeks, I think that's going to be huge for our current players, so they can help pass that on to the next year's class and the next year's class, where we can talk about what she did, what she meant to us. There's so many specials that you guys have done. I know there's an interview when you were a pup, Jerem, that's so cool. All those interviews that she's been able to share her story are things that we'll be able to reflect on. Not just the wins, but who she's affected, all the women, all our alumni. We want to connect with our alumni in the next little bit and hear stories and hear about her from their perspective as playing for coach. What does she mean to them? And that's important for us to carry on.
You mentioned this in the previous block, how cool it was that she got to see BYU into the Big 12. I mean, from the Richards building in 63, groundbreaking, we saw some cool pictures there, to her being a player on a softball team back in the day. She got to see BYU get to the highest level mm-hmm. and see you get to college mm-hmm. Cup and you get to an NCAA championship, Final Four. Mm-hmm. What an opportunity for everybody to enjoy it, but I'm sure she enjoyed it the most, probably.
Yeah, she seemed like she was enjoying it a lot to be a part of all of that. And I think the other thing that Elaine taught me was what it means to be at BYU and how it's so much different than being anywhere else yeah. and that we are truly representing so much more than our school. And she was such a great example and a disciple of the Savior and instill that in all of us as coaches, that we're more than just a coach and we represent so much more. And I think that's something that we still to this day, as we're moving and we're more out in the public, right. To remember, you know what we're representing, and we still have to have our best foot forward, and we have to be really good, or people don't know who we are, so we got to be really good so that they know who we are, what we represent, and what we stand for.
This legacy that she has as a coach and a player speaks for itself. But in the administrative years, and we saw a little bit of it in this Deep Blue, she had to go up against the old guard and fight for money. And fight for attention and fight for all this stuff. And again, that's your benefactors of that fight.
Yeah, I mean, you would know more about the administrative side. She was your AD, yeah. and I guess you could speak to that better.
Yeah, well, she fought for volleyball a lot because I used to be jealous because I knew they were getting more than we did.
There you go.
You know, I didn't blame her. It was her sport, and she was making sure that volleyball was good and taken care of. So, but yeah, I saw her fight for us in a world of very few women that had the influence over athletics and coaches. She really fought for us. There's no doubt about that, and really paved the way for coaches like Heather and I, and women that are involved here. Really laid that groundwork, and we're such benefactors of that.
It's been fun to be just part of that storytelling conversation over the years, as kind of BYU TV was able to help, I suppose, tell the story of the athletes and the teams and, mm-hmm. and Elaine herself. We appreciate you guys coming in and chatting about Elaine. This is a tough but also joyous day to remember Elaine. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Volleyball tonight, as mentioned, BYU and Stanford. Place will be jam-packed over at the Fieldhouse on Elaine Michaelis Court. Our coverage starts at 9 Eastern with Jerem on the call on the BYU TV app.
Still to come, Dallin Hall enters the transfer portal, what it means for Kevin Young and the Cougars. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, live from Studio B. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Well, let's talk.
Really grateful for the opportunity, and we've had some experiences that I wouldn't trade for anything.
I wake up and I have anxiety when I pick up my phone to see the latest news. It's a crazy time in talking with the coaches. They've got it under control.
Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. Yesterday, Dallin Hall entered his name into the transfer portal. What kind of loss is this for BYU, and what does it mean for the point guard position?
You lose experience right off the bat because he's been here for a while in some really big games. He's been coming off the bench. He's got a year left. So I think he probably wants to play as much as he can his last year, and so he's going to go look around. And every kid in college basketball has that right, and so he's going to do it. I think, yeah, you lose a lot of tenacity and some fight, and you think back at the impactful games that he was in. BYU needed him to win some of these. And, yeah, he'll be missed. You bet he will.
He's a Coug. He's a Coug for life. Unless he goes to Utah, then we're going to have to revisit that conversation. But, no, I'm kidding. Love Dallin Hall. I think BYU needed him to win a lot of the games that they won last year and this past year. He was a crucial piece at point guard for two very good teams, two six seeds. You think about we'll talk about it in a minute, the Hunter Dickinson step back against Kansas was big. To me, he was probably the best backup point guard in the country this year, a starter on most of the teams in the country. On this one, you had a potential lottery pick. You bring him off the bench. They started both of them for a while. He embraced that role. He did good in that role. And he and Foose were a dynamic duo off the bench. Certainly disappointing because I like Dallin. I think he's a BYU guy that enjoyed his time here. Certainly in his deep blue, he talked a lot about how he wants to play in the NBA. And certainly we'd like to think that you're prepared for the NBA with this staff, but he feels like he maybe wants a little more playing time, wants to start, maybe some more shots and whatnot. So it's a little bit of a bummer, but you think about the games that BYU needed him. Ball handling, leadership really stuck out to me.
Yeah.
And the pick and roll with Foose was really effective. And dunking at Iowa State, which we'll get into in a second. But it is disappointing. Does it mean that Yegor Demin is perhaps coming back?
Maybe.
Is this a lean in that direction? I don't think that Yegor has decided that quite yet. I just think that Dallin wants a different pasture to graze in here.
Yeah, and there's, you know, on social media, BYU's reached out to other guards. And some we know are coming to visit. It's just the state of things. You have a return missionary at BYU who's going to leave BYU to go play somewhere else for his own benefit.
Yeah.
And the game sets up now where you can do that. And I think he looked at it I'm sure he watched AJ the other night. This is what's coming. That'd be a lot of fun. But for a player, it's more fun to be in the game. And, you know, the trend is if you're a backup this year, you're probably going to be a backup next year. Maybe not, but if he was going to be a starter, I don't think he'd be in the portal. So I think he has a pretty clear vision of, hey, where are my minutes going and who are they going to? And I've got 1 year left. And it's not BYU's fault, and it's not Dallin's fault. The system allows you to go, hey, you can go play somewhere else. Yep. Go do it and be great.
Yeah. It's not often you have a guy who has started in a power league who is an upperclassman who is a backup for you.
Right.
BYU had, like I said, one of the best, if not the best, backup point guard in the country. And BYU needed Dallin Hall this last year to have the season that it had. Led the team in assists for 2 years, and then he was, I believe, second on the team this year to Yegor. So what a career for Dallin. We're going to miss him and wish him best of luck. He did mention last year Creighton and St. Mary's were heavily involved when he went to the portal and came back. My understanding, based on conversations, that he's 100% gone. So there's not a chance he returns, unfortunately.
Well, and it's understood, and again, the proactivity of the basketball team to get players from the portal is well underway.
Oh, yeah.
And so everyone's moving forward. He's moving forward, BYU's moving forward, and no one's moving backward. And that's that makes it a win-win.
Absolutely.
For both. And we'll miss him, and we wish him the best. And we're eager to see who's coming, right? Because this train is heading down the tracks, as we saw with the Sweet 16. But we were talking today about how Hall will be remembered. What play in particular will he be remembered for the most? And there was the three at Kansas, that big win in Lawrence last year, which stunned everybody, and his alley-oop at Iowa State, which might have been actually more surprising. It starts with Trey Stewart heading down the field, and he lobs it.
Freaked out in my basement. Oh, my gosh.
It's like, did that just happen?
Yeah.
And it did. Maybe of those two, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the step back was pretty sweet because it was kind of the exclamation point in one of the biggest wins in BYU history. You're also putting one of the best players in college basketball on his heels, which is just kind of fun. And it's in Allen Fieldhouse. I mean, all the things for sophomore Dallin Hall there were big time. But it's also pretty juicy to see this alley-oop. So I do like the step back just a touch more.
I think he's going to be showing this one to his kids more than the step back. Because they're going to go, no way did
Dad
you dunk
jump.
That. And it's like, not only did I do it, I did it against the number 10 team in the country when we beat them on their home floor.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and you know what? I was surprised he could jump that high.
I think he's shocked all of it. No, he's a good athlete. But in high school, he dunked all the time.
Before.
Right? That was awesome. And the fact that Trey Stewart is like, yeah, I'm going to throw this up. It was great. Our question of the day is this. What's your favorite Dallin Hall moment during his time at BYU? There were a lot of great ones the last 3 years. I think about his performance against St. Mary's at home as a freshman. I think he had 23 in that game. Yeah. At Soda Coogan X. I don't think Dickinson has recovered since he stuck that step back three in his eye. It's such a big shot and a big moment in BYU basketball history. You're right. I don't know that Kansas has recovered since that moment.
I don't think they have.
They got to the second round last year. This year they lost in the first round for the first time since like 06 or something. Oh, my gosh.
At Rowdy in the Rock on X, the alley-oop at Iowa State got to be one of the most jaw-dropping plays I've ever seen anywhere.
That was awesome. And I think BYU went up by its largest lead there, and I thought it was over. Yeah. Then it became a game, and BYU won in double
OT. Things got crazy after that.
At Brandon Palmer 3R on X. Not one specific moment, but watching the chemistry between him and Foose in the pick and roll was always fun. They had a great thing going. And for a second unit to have that kind of scoring punch with a specific play, very unique to BYU. You had a senior in Foose, a junior in Dallin. That was a great bench BYU had.
And those two were on the same page. And Kevin Young played them together a whole lot.
Yep. He knew. Season. I need these two together.
Yeah. Yep. That was key. What did Silver Fox on Life on X say?
Taika Waititi.
Yeah, impersonations were fantastic.
That's right.
I wish him the best in the portal. Hope he finds a great new home.
Do you remember that character from Thor Ragnarok? Oh, I'm a rock.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's
that was him. That's right, he did that.
Was he a big Star Wars guy? Was
love Lord of the Rings, love Star Wars. He was like a homie at heart because I love those things too. I'm kind of nerdy that way.
Yeah, we wish him the best.
Yeah, absolutely. Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
So that takes us to the next question. Is point guard now the position where BYU needs to go get the most of from the portal?
1,000,000%, because you don't know what Yegor Demmitt's going to do. If Yegor comes back, it's not a big deal, although with Dallin and Elijah in the portal, you do need a backup point guard out of the portal.
Right.
Point guard for sure. If Yegor comes back, you're feeling pretty good. You can always play Dawson Baker as backup point if you wanted. I wonder if BYU goes and gets somebody. They're being very active in the portal right now.
I'm pretty sure AJ was playing some of the point the other night in the McDonald's game because everyone who had the ball just kept the ball.
Bring it up.
He could do it.
Yeah, why not? I think absolutely it is, especially with two of your three point guards in the portal and then the other one probably going to the NBA. But, again, Yegor has said this to you and other people. I never said I was one and done.
So
we're waiting to – and it's still going to be a minute, but – to see what exactly happens with Yegor Demmitt.
There's a timeline ahead as far as guys wanting to kind of see where they're at with the NBA draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that leads to the question, when do you want to see this this lineup pulled together. I think when Mboup showed up middle of the season, this last roster was a roster in the makings for, 8 months? And so maybe it's always going to be in the makings. But when you think of Richie and Yegor, there's a couple of dates that matter when you're thinking, hey, when would I like to have my starting five?
And let's talk about that. April 26th, deadline to enter the draft. So that's the Yegor date, right?
Or nope. Even the Richie, because you got to enter to go to the combine,
to
right?
To get in, yep. Yeah. May 11th through the 18th, the combine. That's by invite only. So we'll see if I would imagine Yegor gets that. We'll see with Richie. I would think if he's in that he gets that invite too. Which, by the way, Richie will blow people away.
Yeah.
They're just going to look at a white kid with curly hair. And
well,
then
how are you doing that?
He's going to be so fast and jump so high and be so quick. It's like, this kid's athletic. June 15th, deadline to withdraw from the draft.
That's the day.
Yeah.
And it could be any time up to that point, but
right.
If you're still on the fence on June 14th, it's decision time. And so...
Which is wild, because the draft's like 10 days later after that.
Yeah.
So teams are like, yeah, we want... Oh, you're not in the draft? Okay.
So there will be... either Yegor will either be in or out by June 15th.
Yes.
And then you can build around that if you have to.
What's your feel right now for this? Because my feel is Richie will return. He'll test the waters. He'll return. And then Yegor, just by percentage, probably going. But I continue to feel more confident that there's a chance he returns.
I agree with you on both of those. Even last night, I was watching SportsCenter, and they showed the latest top 10 projections in the draft. Yegor's not in the top 10, at least last night in the guy that they were showing. And, you know, he was when he got here. He was through the season.
At the beginning of the year, he went up to top 5.
Yeah.
Some people were talking about him number 2.
Yeah, a 10-assist game. And
yeah.
So he slipped a bit. And so then it's a matter of, well, where are you going to fit with the team that gets you? And are you better off coming back? You've got your personal life that's thriving here.
He's happy.
He's happy.
Loves
he's got his driver's license.
Nice.
He can drive to McDonald's.
Did he get his Eagle Scout? Is that
I don't know if they worked on that. But it's a complicated decision.
Yeah.
He came here as a business decision,
yep.
And then it got personal.
Yeah.
And
I think he felt things he didn't anticipate he'd feel here.
Yeah. Met people he didn't think he was
relationships ready. He'd begin, and right now he's flourishing, man.
Yeah. And I'll tell you
he
what.
He said, I'm living my best life.
Travis Hansen and everybody who's gone to the NBA, not a lot from BYU,
yeah.
But they reiterate that it becomes a job, and it gets hard. It's not fun in games like it is here. And so if you can have another year of that and still go out at the ripe old age of 20.
Still young and still there, man.
It's going to be a tough. It's going to be a tough one.
He's
Thank
got
goodness, it's a tough one. Do I go to the NBA or do I stay here?
What?
You know,
that's a good problem. Yeah. Also, like we talked about, Dave, it's win-win for BYU. It really is. If he goes and he's a top 14 pick in the lottery, great. It gives glory to the program, and it starts what we hope will be year after year first rounders for BYU.
Yeah, but so, if he comes back.
But if he comes back.
That's a top 10 team.
Now we're talking about top 10 team.
Villanova on opening night that for college basketball.
You're getting me really excited thinking about that.
Let's see.
Slow your horses. We don't know if he's coming back. Continue to weigh in on our question of the day regarding Dallin Hall, and we'll get to those responses a bit later as we continue to remember Elaine Michaelis as well on the show today.
Doubleheader day for men's baseball. They're in Fort Worth taking on TCU. This is a huge challenge for the team. They get the Horned Frogs twice. The first game today at 4 Eastern. The second game 30 minutes after. You can listen to it with Greg on BYU Radio. You can watch it on ESPN+.
The weather's been real fun with the scheduling of that series.
Spring ball.
Right? You thought it was weird in Utah. Man. After the break, BYU Gymnastics advances in the NCAA Regionals, BYU head coach is honored, and a surprise entry into the transfer portal for Cougar football. Headlines are next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. I want it now, I gotta rise up.
What do you guys talk about in the offseason? There's plenty going on, as you've seen and heard today. Welcome back to Studio B. Jeremy Jordan, Dave McCann. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU junior point guard Dallin Hall enters the transfer portal. After 3 seasons at BYU, he averaged 7.7 points and 4.1 assists. over 100 career games. 6.8 points and 4.2 assists this past season. Hall joins Cannon Catchings and Elijah Crawford as Cougars in the portal. BYU basketball this morning announcing a home-and-home exhibition series with Nebraska in 2025 and 2026. BYU will travel to play in Lincoln this year. They'll host the Cornhuskers next year. You can play these kind of things and raise some money.
It's new. They used to be like secret scrimmages. You would have one exhibition that was public against a nobody. A little different now, which is kind of fun.
The secret's out.
Once retired quarterback Cade Finnegan entered the transfer portal yesterday. Finnegan had been on BYU's roster since 21, played one game in 23. Last season, he was a student QB coach. Now he's back, baby, but he's going somewhere else.
Love his attitude. Wish him the best.
Great dude.
Gymnastics scored a 195.50 to beat Utah State in the play-in round in the NCAA regionals yesterday in Salt Lake. Back in action tonight now. Now they're in the real first round. They take on, there's number 4 Utah, number 13 Stanford, and number 17 Denver in the mix. Cougars need a top 2 finish to advance to the national championships. We wish them the best of luck.
Number 7 men's volleyball hosts number 12 Stanford at Elaine Michaelis Court in the Smithfield House tonight. The first of 2 MPSF matches, 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Baseball in Fort Worth. 3-game series starts today with a doubleheader. They're dancing around some weather there. Game 1, 4 Eastern. Game 2, 30 minutes after Game 1. Both games on ESPN Plus. Or listen to Greg Rubel on the call on BYU Radio.
Softball plays a 3-game series at Iowa State starting today at 5 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
Men's tennis on the road looking their second Big 12 win of the season. They're at Arizona State. That's a tough call right there. Women's tennis, they're trying to extend their Big 12 winning streak to 6, and they take on Kansas State tonight.
Playing great. Yeah. Women's cross-country coach and associate director of track and field, Diljit Taylor, has been named the 2025 State of Sport Coach of the Year. Taylor was selected for the award by nominating committee made up of Utah sports professionals and media. Another award for Diljit Taylor. Feels like we say that every week.
She's super
awesome.
Yeah.
And we'll wrap up today's show with more responses to our question of the day and today's Rise and Shout Out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We have a second question of the day. Building off Elaine Michaelis' legacy at BYU, what's your favorite BYU women's sports memory? At Dandelion is on X. BYU soccer beating UNC in Provo with that great comeback. That was 2023. That was the Elite Eight. BYU was down 3-0 in the first 20 or 30 minutes. Had the privilege of calling that one. That is my answer
else.
As well.
That was something
And
else.
Having done a bunch of women's sports broadcasts in various years here, that is the one that takes the cake.
Yeah.
So fun.
Twiggy or Stone on X, watching cross country win national championships.
Yeah.
Really neat to see the hard work pay off. Second would be watching the soccer team play in the national championships.
Nearly pulled it off, right, against Santa Clara in a PKs. Our elite voice of the day is presented by PAX, Healthcare Elevated, at George C. 11 on X. Watching the 2018 women's volleyball team not only beat perennial power and number 1 Stanford in the regular season in 5 dramatically, but then sweep Utah in the NCAA tournament, then beat powerhouses Florida and Texas in the Smithfield House in front of crazy crowds. The team had 6 All-Americans. That was a special team as well for Heather Olmsted. That was fun. Today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Of course, Elaine Michaelis, this is her day, and there's going to be a few more, especially as we get to her memorial service and all that. Once we get the details, we'll share them with everybody. But how about this volleyball team go out there tonight and smash Stanford as a tribute?
That would be awesome.
A full house on that court.
That would be awesome. And it was great to have Jen Rockwood and Heather Olmsted in studio with us today to talk about her legacy and her influence. And it's fun, especially for me, calling volleyball matches, to be in that gym, to see Elaine Michaelis court. I talked about how it's going to be difficult tonight to see that empty seat where she would always sit right behind us, second from the aisle. I would talk to her, and she would hold my hand, and we would have a lot of just great conversations. Jeremy, you do your part. I'll do my part. How about you, Cougar Nation? Continue to do your part, and we'll do our part. We remember fondly Elaine Michaelis and the life that she led.
Are you going to do your part tonight?
I'll do it.
All right.
I'll do it.
As you should.
Our thanks to today's guests, Jennifer Rockwood, Heather Olmsted, as we mentioned.
All our content's ready for you on our BYUSN.com, our YouTube channel, and all the social media platforms.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Amy and Jesse Gant. Their sons are playing for both teams tonight in the men's volleyball match at 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app. Go Cougs!